States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Copies of draft meeting minutes of July 9th and July 17th have been provided to the council members and have also been posted on the city website. The treasurer's report, copy of the city treasurer's report as of July 31st is located in the binder at City Hall for council's review. Committee reports, copies of these reports have been received and are at your desks. I want to announce that Alderman Moranti will be joining the DPW and Parks Committee, and I will be joining the Youth Committee since both have recent resignations. Communications. Well, the first communication is from the mayor vetoing the vacancy law, but do not fret. Proposed local law introduction number 4 will be re-entered tonight into the works. So let's start with the resolutions. First resolution is appointing commissioners of deeds. Can I have an introduction and a second? Rob, second. Sure. Resolution is to re-adopt a fund balance policy. Heather, would you like to give a quick summary of what this is?
Sure. This is something that OSC, the Office of State Controller, recommends. It is basically guidance that says, so everybody talks about the fund balance, but there's actually a variety of different types of fund balance, ranging from restricted to assigned. What we're talking about here is unassigned. And the basic goal of the policy is to try and put a frame around how much we should be trying to hold in unreserved fund balance. We obviously want some so we can deal with emergencies, in case some revenue doesn't come in on a timely basis. We don't want it to drop too low because that would look bad and would hurt our credit rating, and we have municipal bonds on the market. Conversely, we also don't want it to be too high because that means one of two things. Either we're collecting the money, but we're not setting it aside the way we should. Like, for example, we have a reserve for a fire truck. If we have too much in unreserved, I would probably make a proposal that we move some of that from unreserved to the fire truck reserve so that we can reduce our debt when we finally get around to buying fire truck. So that's one example. The other example is maybe we've got everything fully funded. We don't, but let's say hypothetically we did. Then the thing would be, well, let's start spending down some of that fund balance, and that would be reflected in lower tax rates going forward. So we don't have to collect as much money because we've got some money sitting, some fund balance that we can use to offset expenses. So what this does is for each of the four funds, general as well as water, sewer, and cemetery, sets a minimum threshold of 25% and a maximum threshold of 35%. And the goal is every year to check against that and make sure we're in that range somewhere. It also provides some basic guidelines. If we're too high, what we'll do to take action to bring it back into that range. And if we're too low, again, what kind of actions would we take to bring it back into the range? So that's what that is. And it's been, was originally introduced in 2015, I believe, and technically it's supposed to be voted on every year by the council. So that's why it's in front of you today.
Okay, before I answer an introduction, a second reminder, you have a full document here to read between now and our formal meeting. Can I have an introduction and a second? Rob. The next resolution is accepting a donation from James Schermerhorn in the amount of $50. Fire department dive, please. Can I have an introduction and a second? Calvin. Second? Another donation from the Hudson Fire, from the Hudson Fire Department in memory of Mark, the late Mark Graziano, in the amount of $50. Can I have an introduction and a second? Sure shot. Second? Wow. Next resolution is appointing Angela Chandler to reappoint her to the CAC. She was serving out, it may seem like we just appointed her, but she was serving out just a couple of months and someone who had resigned. This is to appoint her to a full term. Can I have an introduction and a second? Rich? Second? Next is a resolution requesting the County of Columbia to engage in a feasibility study with the City of Hudson on the acquisition and use of the John L. Edwards School for City, County, and Municipal Offices. As you all know, the John L. Edwards School is up for sale, and this is a request that the County and the City work together to figure out if we want to be partners in this development. If so, how would we do it? Have an introduction?
So just what is this doing?
This is just for a feasibility study to figure out what it means in terms of how much we'd have to cough up, how much they'd have to pay, all kinds of questions. What it would take to build out the building or to remediate whatever is there, if there's asbestos, all kinds of questions.
So right now we're just okaying the study should engage.
Correct.
But there's no money.
And this was again at Shearshot's request. Would you like to introduce it?
Well, I was in the beginning, I was telling about that the building is for long term. Mm-hmm. It is good for our citizen of Hudson. If it is all city offices in one place, it's everybody go to the city hall to do their business in the one place. And another, we get a problem in here, we don't have handicap access. And that place is middle of the city and has a big parking lot. So all in good, I was thinking it is really long run, it is good for the city of Hudson. And also those, we have your building and those other buildings, if we sell them, we get money coming also, they're going to the tax fair, which is income for city of Hudson. That's why I was telling you, we should think about to buy that building for city of Hudson.
Thank you. Can I have a second? Come on. Thank you. Remaining on your desk, our local law is number 9, having to do with the zoning. State law and Energize New York benefit financing program. Rich, can you explain what this is?
Currently, as part of the 4 high impact action items that we passed last year, one of them is this energy efficiency, energy improvement corporation, whereas people can apply for certain low cost loans to the state to put in solar panels or some other sort of clean energy related. So what happens is that it seems that every year the state changes its requirements. So this new, these amendments, this is an amendment to a current law. The very last page of this law actually has the memo attached to it, which shows the changes that the state has made to the this program, removing a 10% cap and disadvantaged property owners, things like that. This really to keep us in line with the state requirements for this program.
So this has been adopted by prior council?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Can I have an introduction in a second? Oh, was there another question?
I just had a brief question because in looking through it, I understand how it works. I remember it from the past. I just happened to notice a detail that wasn't clear to me because, you know, the money gets reassessed onto the tax bill. It wasn't clear to me if it says that the, I can't remember, it's the EIC or whatever the name is, who's actually providing the funding, they get remitted the funds within 30 days after the point of time that it's to be collected. Am I correct in assuming whether the city actually collects it or not, we still have to remit the money to EIC or not? Okay. I mean, if not, it just becomes a lien on the property and then we, you know, take action, but if we don't have to pay it out before we collect it, it would be ideal.
Can I have the introduction and a second? Rich? And local law number 7, this is the revised amendment to the city code pertaining to vacant buildings. There are a number of sort of minor corrections made to the first version. We're trying to familiarize yourself. In fact, council members, if you'd like to see the different versions, Rich has provided me, and I can share with you a, what do you call it?
I ran the original law and the revised law through Word compare document, and there's a document out there that shows all the changes. A lot of the changes, some of them are formatting changes from the original law, which you see in the changes. Some of them, they're just references to, we just make sure that we have the correct references to various laws in there, in the revisions, to New York State versus international law, whatever it is, make sure that we have the right correct departments that we're referencing. Basically, what happens is that myself, Craig, John Rosenthal, and Andy sat down and we fine-tuned everything to ensure that we went through every line. Some of the other, really the major change, other than like some references to laws and code, there was a $10,000 bond that we took out from the original law, meaning that people who would have these vacant property would have to leave a $10,000 bond with the city, and the maintenance of the vacant property would come out of it, so we took that bond out of there. We'll use our current practice, which is just that any sort of maintenance would be put onto city property taxes, which is what we do now. So, as opposed to creating a bond, the other thing that we did change the fee structure slightly just to make it simple and consistent, so that every year goes $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, up to $5,000 per year. Also, keep in mind the major question that people had was, when is it defined as being vacant? Through this law, it's there. Number one, there's a period where the code enforcement officer will receive a consent of remediation notice that says, okay, you know, something needs, you know, someone complained, someone said something, so we need to remediate your property. As at that point, it will then, if it's not met, the property can become vacant. And then the definition of vacant means that it takes 365 days after that code enforcement officer said, yes, this is now a vacant property. So it takes 365 days. So people were concerned about properties that were on, for real estate purposes or things like that. Well, you have a year. You have a year of after being declared vacant that the property will become, the property is considered vacant. And then after something, a month or two after that, the fines will then kick in. Also keep in mind, too, that these fines, as per Andy, are fines that the purpose is to cover the cost of executing this legislation. It's not necessarily a, it's not a tax. It is a fine that says that, you know, that we can only fine up to what it would actually cost to implement this. So we really sat down with Andy and Craig. We went through not only, you know, the whole implementation process of this law to make sure that, you know, it can be done. And you know, we spoke to Craig, who now has everything on a computer system, so that's going to help. And I think that this law is much more watertight than it was before.
Just a quick question. As we look through the newer, but I can't recall, the original, I believe, people in the neighborhood to identify vacant buildings to code enforcement. Is right. that still
Yes, so that's,
okay.
That's how it's determined vacant. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And the remediation letter is then sent out by Craig, mm-hmm. and then that's followed through on, and then it's determined vacant. So the definition of vacant takes some time. Yes.
Other questions?
So thanks a lot, everybody, Rich, for getting to this point. It looks like it's been a lot of work, and it looks like a pretty solid resolution. One question that I have is, have you looked at having an increase in fines based on the size of the property, either based on units or based on square feet? In some ways, there might be a different fine for, say, a large building that has 20 units versus a single-family 1,000-square-foot house. And certainly I've heard people, that was brought up at the Housing Committee as an idea, and I certainly have heard constituents reference that would be a good idea.
We did have a discussion about that. I think, as Rich alluded to, the fee structure that you see in the law is related to the activity that's going to be required by Craig's office. And the sense that I get from our conversations with him is that, you know, he has been able to, he will be able to streamline this process through the city's software program so that you know, the distinction between square footage and the amount of time he's going to spend in enforcing this, there really isn't going to be an additional burden on him to do that.
Would units be the same thing? Like a 10-unit building would be the same amount of time as a 1-unit building?
That was the sense that I had in my discussion.
From our understanding, it's based upon the amount of time that it takes to administer the law that these are based upon. Not necessarily the market value nor the units.
Any other questions? Can I have an introduction in a second? Rich? And I have. In new business, I'd like to announce that we are, the council will be starting a planning task force in the near future. Part of this is to encompass the discussions of the two other laws that are on your desk, proposal of local law number 9 and local law number 5. And the makeup of this task force will include all the relevant agencies, obviously, HTC, HCDPA, zoning, and planning. And this will help us in the process also, of course, with the DRI, the LWRP, and any other group that needs help in planning for housing or other related projects. The full details we will have ready for you at the formal meeting. Any old business first from the council? Irene, was there something you wanted to do?
Yes. I've talked informally to some of the folks about this. I know we will eventually, because we're talking about it as a council, probably look at the whole code. And one of the sections that I have an interest in, I think it needs some changes. I have an interest in it because I believe that the Preservation Committee does want to expand in the city. I've met twice with Phil Foreman, someone for whom I have a great deal of respect. None of this is because I think the committee has done anything or would do anything, but if a goal is to expand as much as possible in the city, some of the feedback in the ward that I represent is not comfortable with that. The expression, someone said to me, you know, I'm not going to go ask somebody if I can put a screen door on my house. So I'm not proposing specific wording changes, section changes, just something to begin to reflect some of the things that I think could change. Essentially, I think I would like to see the process flipped in the sense that right now the preservation committee determines, you know, according to the code, where a district should be, what landmarks are. And then if the council passes it, you're kind of captured if you live in that area. I think it should be that people have to agree to have their property rights limited, not have us as a council, and there are good reasons for it. The city has benefited from the historic districts, but I think we lose something if, because we as a council take an action and I have a color, I paint my house, replacing windows, anything on the exterior. So I think there are a lot of specifics.
So are you talking about changing Chapter 169 or
yes.
adding to it? Or
changing
I mean, parts I would like to see an amendment that makes visible retaining walls subject, I mean, in a historic district, actually subject to that
to the,
same,
yeah, to
as you know, there's a retaining wall that's
right.
should not have been approved.
Right.
So there are amendments going in both directions.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Districts that are historic do need to have more teeth. I mean,
those were the comments that made me think, well, before they get more teeth and come to the fifth ward, let's see if we can, you know, make the call.
Well, what do you think about taking it to the HPC to work with them?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, I've met with Bill twice just to generally, you know,
put it's not say we can't do it. I mean, right. if they're slow to amend or do things, we can do it ourselves.
Yeah, no, don't mark them as slow. I had said, you know, I just met with him a courtesy because I enjoy talking to him and I learn things when I do. But no, there's nothing slow about it. I'm willing to do whichever way, if it works best, to do it through the preservation committee. That would be right straight up. Yeah, I would do that.
Council members, any other business you'd like to bring up? No? Anybody in the audience? Has anybody back down? Michael, you again.
Yeah, thanks. What's the scoop with people who are in wheelchairs? How do they get to this meeting, and is there any plans to make it more accessible?
Well, the only meeting that has to be in this room is the formal meeting. All those other meetings have been offered. It's been offered to have them off-site. That's all. There's not much more to say.
So someone just needs to request that the meeting is off-site?
Mm-hmm.
So someone would just need to request that the meeting is off-site?
And we've approached... we've offered to have all of our meetings off-site to accommodate people who can't get in the meeting. So it's really been a choice in that case.
And this is something that, you know, with the advent down the road with a ADA coordinator, we'll all be streamlining all these issues. Accessibility is not always about a ramp. It's about having access. So, you know, having a meeting location change. So, but it has to be, you know, a process. So I think having a process in place is key. So somebody has one person to address the grievances or whatever it is, if it's a reasonable accommodation, whatever they need to do, whether it's going to be at the firehouse or you're relocating for one meeting or meetings of interest. So I think having someone in place to be the point person for the issues like this is very important.
Is that a plan to make that position?
Yes.
They've been working on this.
Great.
Mayor.
Michael, we've also have an engineer studying this building to make it ADA, certainly the ground floor. That way, anybody coming into the come to the city hall would be able to pay any bill, get any license, do anything. And additionally, common council can meet anywhere they want as well.
Not for the formal.
I'm sorry?
Not for the formal meeting. Reach your vote. Any other comments from the next? Okay. That's it. Council people, I'm going to have to sign the... Oh, I have a motion to adjourn, sorry. Second?